This morning we are going to be clear back in Genesis, chapter 3, familiar passage. It's one that we all know, we've all heard, we've all been taught forever. If we've been in church at all, then we know this. But there's stuff here today that I want to share with you that God kind of laid on my heart this past week and a half. And I want us to look at it, because I think sometimes we need to realize that there are questions that we're going to have to answer. That's just where it's at. And so this morning we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. And as we get into these, I want us to realize, going into it, when you walked in these doors this morning, you and I are people that are broken. We understand that. We know that. What does that mean? Basically, we have sin in our life. All of us know that, and we can go back and we'll look at this passage in just a moment and we'll talk about it. And we know we have sin in our life because we're broken individuals. And we know that Jesus wants to take care of them. That's why He died on the cross. We know those things. But I want us to come to the understanding today that each and every time you sin, or I sin, it's because I chose to and you chose to. Well, you know, it was part of life, and so that's where it comes from. No, we can't blame it on anybody else or anything else. When we sin, we choose to sin. That's where we're at. And if we go into any message thinking otherwise, then I think we're misunderstanding where we are. Now, Adam and Eve, we know we're going to talk about them today, and we know that that's where our sin came from. So there's a lot of times that we want to blame them. It was just passed down to me. It's in the Bible. It's scriptural. Yes, but you still choose to do it. I still choose to do it. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1, if you'd read along with me. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and that they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave to me of the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you've done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just pray right now that you would speak to each of us as individuals. Lord, help us to hear your word. Help us to understand your scripture. But Lord, as we do that, help us to understand what you have for us. Lord, speak to me and show me what I need. Show me what I need for my life. And I pray that for each person here. Lord God, move among us. Help us to understand what took place then and what takes place today, that we might turn to you. In your name we pray. Amen. As we look at this passage, I know we've all heard it. We've heard so many things. And we go back to that thought that I had right before I read the Scripture of you and I choose to sin. Do you ever wonder why we choose to sin? We can get some good answers here from Eve, and they're really good answers. Because the first one, she says that she saw that the fruit was good for food. You and I take and we sin because whatever it is, whether it's the choice of what it's leading to or what it's doing, you know, it's a little white lie, whatever the sin that you're choosing to do, it just seems like life is going to be okay because that's a part of it. It's a part of being nice. It's a part of living, and everybody's doing it. And so it seems good to sin. She saw that the fruit was good for food. You and I see sin as maybe a good way of getting up on the ladder at work, a little bit higher. Do something a little deceiving. It's good for me to drive faster because I will get to the hospital quicker. It's good for me to do whatever because it's part of life. And so we make that choice like she did because we see that sin is good. Not only did she see that sin is good, but she saw that sin was desirable. It was pleasurable. It looked good to the eye, that fruit. And we a lot of times call it an apple, and I've got nothing against apple trees, but whatever it was, we know it was a fruit from this tree in the midst of the garden, and it was pleasing to her sight. And so many times when we choose to sin, it's because something was pleasing to us. It looked good to us. It looks like it would be enjoyable to us. And surely if it's something that brings joy into the world, even if it's just my little world, how can it be that bad? And we rationalize it to say, well, if it's a part of life, it's good. And if it's enjoyable and pleasurable, how can it be wrong? Let me tell you something. Your life and my life doesn't decide what's right or wrong. This book, God has set out to say what's right or wrong. And you and I need to understand that just because something looks good, just because something seems enjoyable, that doesn't mean it's okay. That was the sin. It was the temptation that led to that sin, was that it was desirable, it was pleasurable to the eyes. The third thing, she says, well, you know, it's desirable to become wise. So how can that really be bad? It's going to make my life better. You know, here, if she eats of this fruit, it will make her wise. And so surely if she's wiser than she was before, then life would be better. And you and I take whatever sin it is that's out there, whatever we want to rationalize, and we say it's good, we say it's enjoyable, and it's going to make my life better, then surely God will understand. Now, it doesn't sound good when I say it like that, but I can guarantee you when you hear that in your mind, you think sin is okay. You think whatever that is, well, that wasn't, it's not Bible times now. And then there's a whole other sermon right there just flashed through my head. It's not the times when these were written. It's things are not the same, and surely God understands. Well, the problem is we don't use enough Bible in our times so that we understand that the same things He was saying to her and to him, He's saying to us. If it seems good to them, then it's surely okay. And it wasn't. The ways of a man seem right in his own eyes. But that doesn't mean they are in God's eyes. So we understand a little bit more of why we choose to sin. We don't like it. We may not agree with it. But we still do it. Those sins that we choose to do are all there because we either think it's okay, it's going to bring joy, or it's going to make life better. And that's how we choose to sin every time. Now, we know that Eve took and she ate, and we know that she gave to Adam, who was there the whole time. He could have stopped her. He didn't. And we know that they both ate and they sinned, and we know what happened. But for a short time here, I want us to understand there was sin in their life. And what did they do? They did the same thing you and I do. I'm going to just deal with it myself. Surely, if I know there's sin in my life, I can do something to get rid of it. I've talked to people for years, and they say, well, as soon as I get my life right, I'm going to come to church. Doesn't work that way. Because if you and I could get our life right, then there would have been no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. But we take and we look at it, and we want to deal with it ourselves. And so we make our own little fig leaves. Surely I can cover up my sin. Surely I can take and I can do something to make up for my mistakes. No, you can't. Nothing you can do is going to cover up your sin shy of falling at the feet of Jesus. But you and I want to cover it up. We want to deal with it ourselves. I don't want it to affect anybody else. That sin in my life is there and I want to cover it up. Not only do we want to cover it up, but we need to understand that what it does is it separates us. When I hide, when Eve and Adam hide in the garden, man, they surely if we just are out of His presence for a little bit, everything will be okay. And when there's sin in your life and in my life, what does it do? It separates us from God. Now, He's not changing. He's still in the same place. He's still the loving God. He's still the merciful, gracious God. But what it does is it sticks me over in the trees. Because that's what it did to them. So we either try to deal with that sin on our own, or we separate a little bit from God thinking, well, it'll pass. And here's our good one. We just make excuses. Well, that woman you gave me. Well, man, I tell you what. If it wasn't for the women that He gave us, we'd be in a lot worse shape than we are. But they tried to make excuses. Well, that servant deceived me. We want to take care of it on our own. We want to hide from God and let it pass by. We want to make excuses that it's really not my fault. I'm going to date myself here, but some of you are old enough to remember Flip Wilson from 60 years ago or something like that. And he would say, the devil made me do it. The devil doesn't make you do anything. The devil throws out there, hey, it looks good. Hey, it's good for life. It's desirable for wisdom. You'll enjoy it for a while. The Bible even says sin has its pleasure for a season. The devil can tell you all those things. But just right before that, God had said, do not eat of this tree or you will die. And they're going to turn around and believe Satan over God. Man, we have all got a lot better than Eve, surely. No. Because we know what God has told us. And we choose to believe the lie. Because there's enough truth in His lie to make it sound, well, you're not really going to die. There's enough truth in Satan's lie to make it tempting. And so they have this sin in their life. You and I have this sin in our life. And God does something to take care of it. But He does it in a way I want to look at this morning that's different. Because the sin was there, just like it's in your life and it's in my life. The sin is there. And He comes asking questions. He comes walking in the garden. This is God, and Adam and Eve had just broken His command. He had given them one command, do not eat of this fruit, and they broke it. And He comes walking. When my kids would do something that I had told them not to do, and I came into the room, I generally was not walking. Because if I had come in the room stomping, they would have ran out the other door. But Jesus comes walking patiently. But not only that, He come in the form of a man. He wasn't a spirit at that time. Because it says He was walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. When they needed Him the most, He came as a man. Whew! That works again. Later. We'll get to that. So He comes walking in the cool of the evening. Did He come immediately after they had sinned? No, He gave them some time. Because they had time to sew some fig leaves together. I'm pretty sure that that had never happened before. But yet they figured out, hey, if we can get this and we can get these fig leaves and we can use this to sew them together and make our... That probably took some time. God gave them some time to come to Him. When you mess up, God gives you time to come to Him. But we want to go make fig leaves on our own. So He comes walking in the cool of the evening. After giving them some time, and He asks them four questions. And I want us to answer those four questions today. The first one He asks, where are you? God knows everything. He already knew where they were, but He wanted them to understand where they were. He wanted them to understand what their location was. You're not out walking with me. You're hiding in the trees. Those same trees that God had created for them that they could eat of. That they were all for their purpose and they used those good things to hide behind. He wanted to know where they were. He wanted them to know where they were. And He wanted them to see that there was something separating them from God. When you and I have sin in our life, God's going to ask you, where are you? What's separating you from me? Why are you not here where I can relate to you? I have done everything to come to you, and you're hiding from me. What is separating you from the presence of God? It's a sin in our lives. We don't want to admit it. Well, it's time, I'm busy, I've got all these things going on. No. Because if I look at God the way I should, then those things will not get in the way. What's separating you? Could be good things, like the trees. Could be the fact that you're just uncomfortable coming before God because you know you've got sin in your life that you don't want to deal with. Second question he asks in verse 11, who told you you were naked? Because before, they ate the fruit they didn't know, and now they knew. He asked, who told you? And it wasn't really Satan that told them, but through listening to Satan, they understood what they understood. And so he asked them, who told you? So that they would understand how they got where they were. If you're going to listen to him, then look where you're going to end up. That's what he wants us to understand. Not just where are you, what's separating you from me, but how did you get there? What caused you to go down that path to sow the fig leaves and to hide in the trees? Who have you been listening to? The sin that's in your life, the sin that's in my life, who are we listening to get us to that point? God wants to know, who told you? That tells us another thing, that if it wasn't him, then it could have only came from one other person. And that was from Satan. Because there's only two voices to listen to. And you and I have to decide which one we're going to listen to. And he says, who told you? So that they would see where they were at and they would see what listening to that other voice gets them. Where it leads them. So, who are you listening to? Third question, right after that same verse. He's talking to Adam here still. He says, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? He comes to Adam, and really I think he's just wanting Adam to admit it. Because he asked pretty straight, have you done this? But it's personal. And he wants him to be responsible for the sin. It would have been very easy to give the best answer and probably the answer that God wanted. Did you do this? Yes. But he didn't. He gave excuses. And immediately that picture flashes when a parent comes in and the kid has cake all over their face. Did you eat that cake? No. And there's evidence all over their face. When God says, have you done this, which I commanded you not to do? He's not waiting for somebody else to answer. He's waiting for you to answer. You are responsible for the sin that you commit. I am responsible for the sin that I commit. He asks point blank, have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And he comes up with excuses. He blames other people the same way you and I do. But God wants you to understand. Because I can just picture him walking over to Adam and saying to his face, have you broken my commandment? And immediately what happens? He starts looking around. No, We have to be responsible for the sin that we commit. That's what God is wanting Adam to do, is just be responsible. Acknowledge the fact that what you have done is wrong. You have disobeyed me. That's what He wants from us. He wants us to take responsibility for the sin in our life. Because it's not, well, I was raised in this culture. You know, if I was raised 200 years ago, I wouldn't have had pornography all around me, and so it wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have, and we can make up whatever excuse we want. It's not society's fault that Christians are failing. It's because Christians are following society that we fail. We have to understand and take responsibility for what we do. So the "have you" is sent straight to us. Last question. He turns to the woman and he says to her, "What is this that you've done?" And again, seems a lot like the question right before that, but it's different. "What have you done?" And of course, she tries to blame it on the deceiving serpent, but she comes to the point and she says, "I ate." He wants us to confess. He wants us to take responsibility. You and I have to take responsibility, like I just said. But then He wants us to confess that sin to Him. Personally. Well, surely if Adam just said, "Well, you know, it was the woman's fault, and yes, I ate." Surely if Adam confessed, his confession is good enough for everybody. Surely his confession will cover me because I'm his partner in life. He's my family. Surely his confession will cover me. No. God goes to her and says, "What have you done? Have you confessed for your sin? Because if you haven't, it's still on you." Adam confessed. Eve still hadn't. So God goes to her personally and says, "What is this that you've done?" He wants her to confess her sin. The same way He wants us to confess our sins. And so many times a lot of Christians think, "Well, you know, I accepted Christ when I was 21 and I asked Him to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and He did that. But there's still sin in my life that breaks that relationship, that hides me in the trees, and what He wants to do is to get rid of that daily." It says, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." Things have to happen in my life daily for my relationship with Jesus to be what it should be. You and I need to make sure that we answer these questions. There are some of us here today that may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So when you get the question, "Where are you?" There's only one answer. You're lost. I wish there was something else I could say. But when He asks, "Where are you?" that's your only answer. But for those of us that are Christians, when He asks, "Where are you?" that person that's lost may not know better, but you and I do. And when He says, "Where are you?" what's separating you from me, I have to answer for me, and you have to answer for you. And when He says, "Who told you?" who are you listening to? Who are you following? Because like I said, there's only two voices. If I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God, in a daily walking relationship with Him, somebody else has led me astray. And there's only one other person. So if you're lost and you're not following God, then you're following someone else. There's no other way to put it. But as a Christian, if I'm not where I should be, I'm following that other voice too. have you eaten? Have you taken responsibility for your sin? If you're lost, no, you haven't. If you're lost, you don't understand what that really means. If you're a Christian, and that's our problem, is we don't want to take responsibility. Because if I don't take responsibility, then I don't have to confess. If I can blame it on somebody else or something else or life in general, then it's not really my problem. If you sinned, if I sinned, then it's our problem. And then the last question, what have you done? Have you confessed those sins? If you're lost, then obviously you haven't. But you need to come to a point to understand that every person on the face of this earth needs a Savior. And that Savior was Jesus Christ when He, like God in the garden, came down as a man, as a baby, lived that life, and laid down His life as a sacrifice to die for your sins on the cross. That's what He wants you to acknowledge. That's what He wants you to accept, because everybody is going to face the sin in their life someday. I'm going to finish with two people here, jumping testaments on you, so bear with me. There's two guys in the New Testament, and this is where it gets ugly. There's Judas and there's Peter. Both of them failed Jesus. Judas betrayed Him, sold Him out for some silver. Peter denied Him three times after Jesus told him He would. They both failed Him. They both were sorrowful. They both were just torn up about what they had done. But the difference is how they dealt with their sin from that point on. And it comes to the same point for you and I. Judas tried to deal with his sin on his own. He went away and he hung himself. He was sorrowful. Man, I've messed up. But he did not turn back to Jesus. Peter was sorrowful. He knew he had denied Christ. But he turned back to Jesus, and Jesus forgave him and restored him. You're going to follow one of those two guys. Because like I said, we all have sin in our life. For whatever reason, good, desirable, pleasurable, whatever, it's there. We've got to answer these questions, because at some point you and I are going to have to answer for our own sin. Now, you can either give them to Jesus, ask for forgiveness, and He'll take care of them. He died on the cross for them. The wages of our sin is death, and He did that for us. But if you don't come to Jesus and give them to Him, then that means you're going to deal with them. That's the same thing Judas did. So you can either, like Peter, give it to Jesus, or you can, like Judas, deal with it on your own. And I can tell you right now, it's not going to work out very well. But that's where you're at. Answer these four questions. Because He didn't come angry. He came lovingly wanting to offer you these questions so that you would turn to Him. Accept responsibility for the sin in your life and confess your sins to Him. And He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He wants that closer relationship. What's separating you from Him? That's what He wants to know today. That's the first question we've all got to answer. Where are you? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day, and we just thank You for the blessings of Your Word. Lord, give us the understanding and the courage to answer them. Lord, I pray for each person in this place. I pray You speak to them on an individual basis. Lord, deal with me how You need to deal with me. Teach me and guide me. Lord, I want to be better, but I can't do that without You. Lord, I thank You for each one here. I thank You most of all for Jesus, for loving me and never giving up on me. Jesus, I love you. Amen.